For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I always love when we have people on the podcast that have been able to replace their salary with their rental income. I find it very inspiring. But most of the people that we've had on the show have built up bigger portfolios over time to be able to pull that off. My guest on the podcast today has a very different story. He only has two single-family properties, and those properties generate him $6,000 a month after he pays the mortgages. I think that is absolutely incredible. I want to find out how he did this. We'll get into all the details right after we thank our sponsors. We'll come right back, and we'll meet Brandon Corkins from DC. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Are you looking for actionable steps to create wealth and passive income? As a top-ranked business and investing podcast with over 800 five-star reviews, the Passive Real Estate Investing Show is packed with strategies and insight for putting money in your pocket. Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments brings his expertise and knowledge on both passive and turnkey real estate investing, and he provides listeners with helpful tools and tips to create the wealth you've always wanted. Head over to iTunes or Google Play today and subscribe to Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast, or visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. That's PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the show. Before we get into your story, why don't we start with you giving us a real quick 30-second bio so we can get to know you a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah. See, I moved to the Washington, D.C. area about 4 years ago, and I started to work in cybersecurity. And after about 3.5 years of working in the office, I decided to get into real estate. So I've been doing this for about 1.5 to 2 years now, and have two properties. And I recently left the office about 4 months ago.
Which is, I think, really amazing that with two properties, you've been able to quit your job and basically reach financial freedom. From the time that you bought your first property until you quit your job, how much time had gone by?
Let me think. I bought my first property in early 2017, and I left my office job 4 months ago. So I guess that would be about 1.5 years.
Incredible. Incredible. Yep. All right. So let's talk through this, because I think this is really amazing. And the first thing that I think is a big reason that you were able to pull this off is your current living situation. You don't own the house you live in. You're actually a renter. You own rental properties, but you're a renter yourself.
That's right.
Tell me about your living situation.
Yeah, so I was able to get lucky enough. I am the only person on the lease for a townhouse. I live in a finished basement, and then the main floor is kitchen and the common area, and then the floor above that is rented out to three people.
Okay.
So the sublease, the people that are living on the second floor pay for all of my rent, all of the different types of the heat and water, things like that. And then I actually make a few bucks on top of that as well.
Incredible. So you're house hacking a house that you rent.
Yeah.
Which is okay. So that's I think taking away a lot of income that you don't need to make because you're living for free, and you didn't need to come up with a down payment for that house. If something breaks, You just call the landlord. So
that's
I think that's pretty awesome. All right. Now, your rental properties that you own, you rent out properties by the room. Why do you do that versus renting it out to a family?
Yeah, well, if you look at the numbers, so in the Washington, D.C. area, the prices for homes are very high. It works for renting out homes to a single family in, let's say, Michigan. But in Washington, D.C., you have to be more creative. So to make the numbers work properly, I decided to rent out the to each individual room. So I found the house with the most rooms, put people in there, managed the people, and the numbers work out very well.
That's awesome. Now, when you put a bunch of people in a house, you're going to have different personality types. You have the potential that there's going to be tenant drama. Does that happen to you a lot? Is there a lot of management for you to deal with with all the roommates?
You know, I think I've been fairly lucky so far. In the past year and a half or so, I've only had to evict two people, and it was fairly painless. Most of the time, it's, you know, if somebody didn't take out the garbage, or maybe somebody's playing their music too loud. But generally speaking, I may spend 5 or 10 hours a week managing the property, talking to tenants. So it's quite easy.
Okay. Now, what about things like cleaning? You know, a lot of times you have a group situation like that. No one feels responsibility to clean. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, I was doing some of the cleaning in the beginning and chose to not do that, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then a few months into it, one of the tenants asked me, you know, hey, would you mind giving me a discount on rent if I keep the place clean? And I said yes. So ended up giving one of the tenants in my first house a discount on rent, and they keep the place clean, which it works out perfect because they're there. They always see it, obviously.
Okay. Awesome.
So, yep.
Now, let's get into some of these deals, because you are making just ridiculous cash flow these properties. Yep. Now, tell me about the first house that you bought. Like, what did the first house cost?
Yeah, so the first house I bought for $410,000.
Okay.
Was able to get it through the Home Ready program through Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. And what this is, it's a 3.5% down with no PMI as long as it's your first house.
Okay, awesome. So you bought the house, and then how many roommates do you have living in there?
So it's an eight bedroom house, and it was me and seven other people. So again, I was very careful with making sure it was the right kind of person. Yeah. And, you know, obviously I did, checks for background, the criminal history, things like that, verified income and whatnot. So
you've got eight people living in one house. That must be a huge house.
Yeah. It's a 3,200 square foot house.
Okay.
So the house was built in the 50s, and then in 94 there was an addition, and in 2004 there was a second level added.
Okay.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
And how much rent do you get between all eight tenants?
In that particular house, I bring in roughly $5,500 a month.
Incredible. All right. So you got $5,500 coming in, and your mortgage is probably around $2,000.
Yeah, my mortgage for that house is $2,200 again with no PMI.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. And then what about utilities? How does that work?
So I give myself a buffer of a couple hundred dollars just to be safe, but they range between $600 a month to roughly $850 or so.
Okay. So you pay the utility, so you don't bill it out to the tenants, you just pay it and you include it in the rent for the tenants.
Yep.
Okay. So you're profiting somewhere around $2,500 a month on that one property.
That would be correct. Yes.
That's incredible. Okay. So you bought that one property. Now, when you bought that house, did you kind of plan this all out and know this was going to be so profitable, or did it exceed your expectations?
I didn't know exactly how much I would be getting in rent, to be quite honest. I was expecting maybe $4,500 or so, but I ended up getting $5,500 once I built in everything else into the rent. So,
How did you find the property?
Yeah, so I was able to get a really good agent. She knew people in the area that were doing the same thing, right?
Okay.
So there was a house that was off market, that was on market, then it went off. She knew the owner, and it was husband and wife, and they had been essentially taking care of tenants, and everything was going fine for them, but they were moving to Thailand.
Okay.
And once I met them, I was like, hey, why are you guys leaving? They're like, we're leaving the country. And I essentially took over 5 tenants once I bought the house.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So
yeah.
So
yeah.
All the work is done. Did all those tenants stay?
As of right now, I have 2 of the 5 left.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I guess that's the thing when you're renting out rooms, you're probably going to have more turnover. Do you put people on a lease, or is it all month to month?
Everyone is on either a 6-month lease, a 1-year lease, and I have one tenant that's on a 2-year lease.
Okay.
Right now.
And do you screen them before you bring them in, or even maybe more importantly, get approval from the other roommates, or how does that work?
No, I handle it. I talk to the potential tenant and get a feel for them. So once they come and see the house, they see the area. It's mostly up to me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you plug them in there and they bring their own furniture, like their own bed and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. The rooms are not furnished, but the common areas have a TV and a table and things like that.
Okay. Yep. So how did you get all the furniture? Did you just go on Craigslist or something and look for some used furniture to put in there? Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, well, so for the first house, there was furniture in the common areas, but the couch was a little bit, you know, old. So I went onto Facebook Marketplace and got a new couch from there.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. All right, so you buy that first property. It's exceeding your expectations. You're making ridiculous cash flow on it.
Right.
So yep. How did the second property come about?
Yeah, so about a year and a half after that purchase, I was looking in a similar area in a town next door.
Okay.
And this house was owned by a flipper, and they had the house for about a year or so. They purchased the house for $340,000, and they sold it to me for $510,000.
Okay.
So.
So when you bought this house, you were buying it from a flipper, so it was a totally remodeled and in perfect condition?
Yeah, you know, I learned a good lesson. You know, if the person doesn't actually live in the house, there may be some issues. So there were some issues with the plumbing. There were some issues with water in the basement as well. I was able to get those things taken care of. And then I actually ended up building a second kitchen in the house as well. So, you know, after I bought the house for $510,000, you know, I put in roughly $40,000 of work into the house.
Okay. 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 And then how many bedrooms do you rent out in that house?
There are 11 bedrooms.
11 bedrooms. Wow. That is incredible. Yep. And then how much rent do those 11 tenants pay you?
It's approaching $7,800 a month.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Now, if you were to rent that out to a family, how much rent do you think you would be able to get?
On Zillow, I would get $2,500.
All right, so you're getting $2,500 versus $7,800 that you're actually getting. I mean, that's ridiculous. All right, so you get $7,800. How much is your mortgage? Like $3,500 or something?
Yeah, it's about $3,550 or so. Yep.
Okay, so and then you've got utilities on that, so you're profiting somewhere like $3,500 a month.
That's correct. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So you've got these two properties that are bringing you right about $6,000 a month.
Right.
All right. So you're getting $6,000 a month, and then how long did it take you before you started questioning why you're going to work every day?
Well, I was questioning that way before I got into real estate. So, I left within 3 months of buying the house.
Okay.
I left the office within 3 months of buying my second property, and then I got into the townhouse where I rent.
Yeah. Okay. That is just unbelievable. So two properties, and you basically replaced your salary and your you've got all this free time and you're living for free on top of all that.
That is correct. Yep.
Wow. Is there any downside? Like, I mean, do you see any reason why everybody couldn't do this? I mean, this is,
well, I mean, it wasn't necessarily hard getting into it from just doing it, you know, but like shifting your mind to managing, I manage 22 people now.
Okay.
Right. Yep. So 2 years ago, I didn't know anything about real estate. I didn't have friends or family in the business. So it can be hard for some, I think, with managing the people and just kind of making sure that everyone's happy, yeah, more or less. But you know, if you have a job where you can qualify for a house, the size, you know, I say, why not? You know,
yeah.
And if you want to stay in the office, great. But you know, I could easily do this and also have a 9-to-5.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So how much time, I think you said earlier, but how much time do you spend, like say on an average month, how much time do you spend managing the properties?
Average month, I would say maybe 40 hours a month.
4 hours a month between.
No. It's like maybe, oh, I would say 10 hours a week.
10 hours a week. Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. Yep. So that's a lot. So you are, I guess, are you going over to the property to deal with issues, or like what exactly are you doing in yeah, an average month?
So I'll go to the house once a quarter to change filters for the AC units. In the summertime, I'll go every 2 weeks to take care of the lawn. During the wintertime, I'll be there every 2 weeks just to check up on the house and make sure everything's okay, fine, more or less.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Now let's talk about some of the risks or some of the things that could maybe go wrong. So the first one I can think of is that if you had vacancy, if you had a prolonged vacancy, and I know the area where your properties are, and yep, I don't see that being a problem. I mean, you're in a really good area. You're close to public transportation. Right. Do you agree with me that like vacancy isn't really a concern?
It's not, like I said, this type of the group housing works really well in large areas like DC, maybe Chicago, New York, things like that. There's so many people in the area that need cheap housing. Mm-hmm. So when you have a room that's open, you can bring in 10 people a day and you can pick from the best out of, let's say, 25 people.
Right. So yeah, that's a yeah, good point. So this might not work in every town, but because of the location you're in, it right, works. Yep. And what's interesting is that this works, but a traditional rental wouldn't work. I mean, you wouldn't be making, you'd probably be losing money if you turn right, this into a regular rental.
That would be correct. Yep.
Now, with the other risk that I see is, which for you, I don't think this is even really a concern, but rents going down, like you've got a really, yep, a lot of jobs around there. I don't see your rents going down. I only see them going up over time.
Yeah, the good thing about the price point is that if the economy goes down, there will be more people that want to rent at $725
a month. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, but if you're obviously renting more A-class properties, those may lose, but when you're renting like this, you're always safe.
Right. Now, what about repairs? Do you budget money or set money aside for when an HVAC needs to be replaced or maybe the roof goes something major? Like how do you deal yep, with that?
So I always have about $10,000 per house just in case.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
And then I have a really good contractor that's been doing this for 35 years and he has essentially saved my second house. So I can let you know that getting a contractor that has a team behind them that has a lot of experience is one of the most important things that I could have done on my second house.
Right. Okay. That's yep, really, really good advice. All right. Another risk is the neighbors. It seems like the neighbors are fine that you're doing this, but that what if that changes at some point? Like what if you maybe a neighbor moves and someone comes in and they are just 100% against living against a house with 11 people right, in it?
Well, yeah, it's really important to be familiar with the codes for the city. So mm-hmm, as long as you're within code for the city, they really don't have a case. I make sure that the tenants aren't taking their spaces for parking and that, you know, they're not bringing over people and having parties and things like that. So as long as they're being quiet and not parking in certain places, I haven't had any issues.
Okay, perfect. Now, what about like if the city cracks down at some point, maybe they change the code or, they outlaw that you can't have this many people in a house. What would you do at that point?
At that point I would have to rent it out to a single family house, but yeah, I can tell you from the nature of the demographics in the area, that's something that wouldn't happen because there's such a need for people, cause if people in the area rent a one bedroom apartment, that's about $1,800 a month. And there's just not enough places being built.
Have a lower
price point.
Yeah. I mean, so. you're in the perfect situation. In the perfect neighborhood where this is really, it sounds like it's just kind of a common practice. Like a lot of people are doing this and.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to drive around certain areas of DC or Chicago, New York, LA, you'll find homes that have been built out for this. Again, it's making sure that you're up to code, and then also managing the tenants, so everyone's getting along. But these types of areas, they actually need more houses like this. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And then another risk that I'm thinking of, and that this is the last one, is you. I mean, like, what if at some point you didn't want to manage these tenants anymore, or maybe you decided you wanted to move away from the DC area?
How
do you think this could work? Like, could you get a manager or would there be a way to keep it going?
Yeah. So I think my long-term or maybe my 5 to 10 year goal would have, let's say 5 or 6 homes like this. Mm-hmm. And then 1031, into an apartment complex.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I think this is a really interesting thing you're doing, and I think it's really incredible how you were able to really reach financial freedom in a very short period of time.
Right.
Without having 100 houses. I mean, you did this with 2 properties. I think this is absolutely incredible. Well, if anybody wants to reach out to you or learn more about you, what's a good way for someone to contact you?
So the best email to reach me is Brandon, Brandon Corkins, Corkins, @gmail.com.
If you want to look up Brandon's email address later on, I've got it on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode198. Before we wrap things up, I want to give a huge thank you to our sponsor today, Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to finance a rental property, definitely talk to Chaley Ridge over at Ridge Lending Group. She specializes in doing loans for investment properties. She can help you nationwide, doesn't matter where the property is. She's got really good rates, and she can help you whether it's your first property or you've got a large portfolio and you're having a hard time getting financing. She can make it happen for you. If you want to find out more, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she'll even pre-qualify you for free. That's ridgelendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. It's that time of year again. It's tax season. And if you're like me, you've been really busy pulling together all of the documentation for your properties, like all the receipts, organizing your income and expenses, and creating reports. And with tax reform this past year, there's a ton of changes that directly impact investors like us. Our sponsor, Stessa, has teamed up with top real estate CPAs to offer the ultimate rental property tax guide that'll help you keep more of your hard-earned dollars in your pocket. I think this guide is incredible. It takes some very complicated concepts and breaks it down into a very easy-to-understand format. One thing that I wasn't really clear on is how the new 20% pass-through deduction works. There's a lot of things you need to do to qualify for it, and I wasn't sure exactly if I was going to qualify or what I needed to do, but after reading this guide, I totally understand, and this is really a huge deduction and something you want to make sure that you qualify for. This guide is hands down the best advice that I've seen on rental property taxes. And you can get your free copy of it when you sign up for a free Stessa account. Stessa is an essential and really cool tool that every rental property owner needs. It helps you track, manage, and communicate the performance of your real estate investments. And it'll save you a tremendous amount of time, especially during tax season. To get your free copy of the Rental Property Tax Guide, just head over to stessa.com/rental taxes and sign up for your free Stessa account to track your rentals. That's Stessa, stessa.com/rental taxes. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. Make sure you subscribe and you'll get the podcast delivered to you automatically as soon as it comes out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.